Isaiah chapter number 7. So we're in the Old Testament of the Bible. We have been kind of looking at some parts of Isaiah on a Sunday evening. I'm not going to look at all the chapters or anything like that, but perhaps some of the better known parts of Isaiah. So Isaiah and chapter number 7. It's a bit after the book of Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, Song of Solomon, Isaiah, and chapter number 7. We'll read maybe about half of this chapter, and then we want to read a little bit as well about one of the kings that's mentioned, King Ahaz. So Isaiah chapter 7, verse number 1 says, "And it came to pass in the days of Ahaz, the son of Jotham, the son of Uzziah, king of Judah, that Rezin, the king of Syria, and Pekah, the son of Remaliah, king of Israel, went up toward Jerusalem to war against it, but could not prevail against it. And it was told the house of David, saying, Syria is confederate with Ephraim. And his heart was moved, and the heart of his people, as the trees of the wood are moved with the wind. Then said the Lord unto Isaiah, Go forth now to meet Ahaz, thou and Shear-Jashub thy son, at the end of the conduit of the upper pool, in the highway of the fuller's field. And say to him, Take heed, and be quiet, fear not, neither be faint-hearted, for the two tails of these smoking firebrands, for the fierce anger of Rezin with Syria, and of the son of Remaliah. Because Syria, Ephraim, and the son of Remaliah have taken evil counsel against thee, saying, Let us go up against Judah and vex it, and let us make a breach therein for us, and set a king in the midst of it, even the son of Tabeel. Thus saith the Lord God, It shall not stand, neither shall it come to pass, for the head of Syria is Damascus, the head of Damascus is Rezin, and within 65 years shall Ephraim be broken, that it be not a people. And the head of Ephraim is Samaria, the head of Samaria is Remaliah's son. If ye will not believe, surely ye shall not be established. Moreover, the Lord spake unto Ahaz, saying, Ask thee a sign of the Lord thy God. Ask it either in the depth or in the height above. But Ahaz said, I will not ask, neither will I tempt the Lord. And he said, Hear ye now, O house of David, Is it a small thing for you to weary men? But will ye weary my God also? Therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. Butter and honey shall he eat, that he may know to refuse the evil and choose the good. Now, I want to just turn back in the Bible to the book of 2 Kings, chapter 16. And I wanted to read a little bit about Ahaz, just a little excerpt or two about this man that we've read about. Ahaz is a king, and I'm reading in 2 Kings chapter 16. Now, some of the stuff that we've just read there is a bit difficult, I appreciate that, but don't worry about that. We'll come back to it in a wee minute. 2 Kings 16. And verse 1 of 2 Kings 16 says, In the 17th year of Pekah the son of Remaliah, Ahaz the son of Jotham, king of Judah, began to reign. So that's the one we're interested in, Ahaz. 20 years old was Ahaz when he began to reign, and he reigned 16 years in Jerusalem, and did not that which was right in the sight of the Lord his God, like David his father. But he walked in the way of the kings of Israel, yea, and made his son to pass through the fire, according to the abominations of the heathen, whom the Lord cast out from before the children of Israel. And he sacrificed and burnt incense in the high places, and on the hills, and under every green tree. And then Rezin, the king of Syria, and Pekah, son of Remaliah, king of Israel, came up to Jerusalem to war, and they besieged Ahaz, but could not overcome him. And we do indeed trust that God will help us with these verses. Now I'm going to turn my Bible back to sit to Isaiah, and if you want to do that, that's really where we're going to be thinking about Isaiah 7. Let's just ask for God's help again. Our Father, we come into thy presence again tonight. We've read some difficult things. We pray, Father, that we might be given help to just take the message that's there for us. Help us, our Father, to understand thy word. We pray, Father, that we might be able to take something out that would be a help to us. We ask our Father that we might just have that experience that Ahaz had, that experience of God speaking, and of God speaking in a way that really touched his heart and moved him. And we pray, Father, that we might just indeed have open hearts to hear thy word. We thank thee, our Father, for the Lord Jesus. And we remember our Father Ahaz of old as he was just pointed to Christ. And we ask for help, our Father, to do that tonight. We ask for that help in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Now I'm looking at Isaiah chapter 7. We've read some strange things, I think, really, from that chapter tonight. And I trust that we aren't lost before we've started. But three very simple thoughts I want you just to lift out from Isaiah chapter number 7. I wanted to think a little bit about a crisis. And most of the difficult bit of that chapter was about a crisis in the life of a king and a people. And in that crisis, God speaks, as God often does speak in the crises of life. And we have in Isaiah 7 not only a crisis, but that we then have a coincidence in his life, a coincidence that Ahaz hadn't planned. He hadn't been looking for anything to happen, but he has a meeting that, as far as Ahaz was concerned, was just a meeting by chance. He just happened to bump into a prophet of God who just happened to have a message for him, and it was all very interesting and coincidental, but there was coincidence, nothing was coincidence, and there isn't such a thing as coincidence anyway. But God was in control, and God was speaking, and God spoke in the crisis of the life of Ahaz. And then Ahaz has a big problem. He's actually got two big problems. His first big problem is that everyone's against him. And that's a big problem. But Ahaz has a bigger problem than his big problem. And Ahaz's biggest problem is this, that he doesn't actually believe that the God in heaven is able to help him. And so in Isaiah 7, God speaks to Ahaz and he points him to the reality of God. He points him to the fact that there is a God in heaven, and he points him to the fact that the God in heaven is real and is able to make himself known. And so we end this chapter that is ever so difficult when we read it, but we end this chapter with something very, very clear. We end it with the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. So we begin with a crisis, and then we move on to a coincidence. And then we finish at the end with the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, the one person who is able to help Ahaz in his problems, and he's the same person who is able to help me tonight in my problem. In fact, he's the only person, the Bible says, that is able to meet us in our big problem. That is our big problem of sin, our big problem of being lost, the big problem that as I stand before God tonight, I'm a sinner. I've fallen short of his standard. I've fallen short of his law. I've done things that are offensive to God. And as such, I stand in jeopardy. I stand with the very real possibility of dying and heading into hell. And there is only one person that can help me with that problem. And that's the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Bible puts it very clearly that there's no other name under heaven given amongst men whereby we must be saved. And the Lord Jesus Christ put it very clearly as well in John chapter 14 when the Saviour said, I am the way, the truth, the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. And really the bottom line of Isaiah 7, the lesson that I want to lift out of it, is the lesson that Isaiah really gave to Ahaz. Ahaz, you don't believe that God can really help you. You don't believe that God is really real. And you don't actually believe that God can do anything or will do anything. Well, let me tell you about the greatest thing that God has ever done and will ever do. A virgin shall conceive. That was Mary. And she'll bear a son. That was the Lord Jesus Christ. And they'll call his name Emmanuel. And that name means God is with us. And so the God who's away up there, who sometimes I think is out of my life and out of touch with me, and I can keep him at arm's length, and I can do what I like. He has, we'll see in a minute, as a man who thought he could do what he liked, where he liked, and when he liked, to who he liked. You can do that, Ahaz. God is out there and he's up there, but one day he's coming into this world. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, has done that. He came into this world and he came with a purpose. He came to seek and to save you and I, that which was lost. So we have in Isaiah 7 then three little points I wanted to share with you amongst the difficult names and the difficult words. We've got a crisis in the life of Ahaz. We've got a coincidence and then we have the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. What exactly, who exactly was Ahaz? And he's mentioned there in Isaiah 7 verse 1. He's important. It came to pass, it says there, in the days of Ahaz. And Isaiah in the 7th chapter there is speaking to this man, Ahaz. What was Ahaz like? Well, I can give you a long answer or a short answer. And my boys are sitting there thinking, give us a short answer, Dad. Well, I'll give you the short answer first, shall I? The short answer is 2 Kings 16, verse number 2, which says that Ahaz did not that which was right in the sight of the Lord his God. So he was a bad king. That's the short answer. The long answer, which isn't so long, the long answer is this, that he was a murderer. So 2 Kings 16 and 3, it says he made his son pass through the fire. Now that's what you call a euphemism. That is the Bible putting something in a gentle way, which is actually horrendous. And what that actually means is that he took his son and he butchered his son and put him on some branches and set him on fire and offered him up to a false god. So this man was a murderer. He sacrificed his own son. He was an idolater. Not only was he an idolater, but he thoroughly enjoyed his idolatry, for it says in 2 Kings 16 and 4 that he sacrificed and burnt incense in the high places, on the hills and under every green tree, everywhere he possibly could. Not only was he a sinner, and idol worship was a bad sin. A bad sin. It was a serious sin. Maybe we today in Europe in the 21st century, we think of bad sins as being sins that hurt people. God always reckons bad sins as sins that cut us off from God. Those are the particular sins that come in for particular criticism in the Bible. And so idolatry was a serious sin. It cut God out of that man's life, and that led him into all the other problems. And the root problem of all of his other problems was that he'd cut God off. So we've got a man, he's a bad man, short answer. The long answer is he's a murderer. He offered up his child as a sacrifice, killed him. He worshipped false gods. He was constantly, he was thoroughly immersed in the worshipping of those false gods. And later on in 2 Kings chapter 16, you would also find that he was a man who was unfaithful. He was a man who was unfaithful, for he knew a little about the God of heaven, but it says later on that he at the first opportunity he went and swapped him for another God. So that was the kind of man that he was. He was a failure. He was unfaithful. I think most of all, he was afraid. He was afraid. I think the Ahaz that we have in Isaiah 7, not only a man that failed and a man that was unfaithful to God, but a man who was caught and who was gripped in a fear and a dread of a God he did not know. He was a man who was so afraid that it says in 2 Kings 16 that not only did he offer sacrifices to every kind of God that he ever knew about and could ever imagine, but it says in 2 Kings 16 and 4 that he actually offered up sacrifices under every green tree. Now that goes way back to the olden days when folks used to think about places, it still happens I think in bits of India, people used to think about places as being linked with certain gods. And so a certain mountain would have its own god, and a certain tree would have its own god, and a certain river would have its own god. And this man was so much in the grip of sin, and so much in the grip of Satan, and so much in the grip of fear, that he could hardly pass a place without just making sure that he hadn't upset a god, without being just so sure that he hadn't done anything unlucky, and he was the kind of man that just made sure that he tried to keep all these gods happy. He was afraid. He was afraid. He was the kind of chap who would buy Lucky Charms.
I had an old auntie that used to, whenever she came to our house, she used to, just remember her searching about the grass looking for four-leaf clovers, you know. Any little lucky charm, anything that would just keep the devil away. And it wasn't working in his life. It was not working. He was gripped by the power of fear. A fear that was so great that in order to try and bring some kind of order in his life, he even took his son and put him upon the altar and offered him up to something he didn't understand. Later on in the Bible, we find out that what he was really doing was devil worshipping. He didn't know it, mind you, but that's what he was doing. That's the kind of man we're dealing with. A failure, unfaithful, and afraid, and very much in the grip of fear and of the devil. Now, why am I telling you that? Isaiah 7 begins with a crisis. How do you think a man like that takes bad news? He doesn't. He's got enough bad news, hasn't he? And he's going to get some bad news. Bad news number one is that your enemies are against you. So verse number 1 of Isaiah chapter 7 says, "It came to pass in the days of Ahaz the son of Jotham, that Rezin the king of Syria, and Pekah the son of Remaliah king of Israel, went up toward Jerusalem to war against it, but could not prevail against it." Bad news number 1 for this man Ahaz was your enemies are against you, and bad news number 2 was your friends are against you, because Israel, and if you were to look back, and we won't do the history lesson, but if you were to look back, the people that Ahaz belonged to, and the people that were against him, if you go look back a wee bit, they used to be brothers. So his enemies are against him, and his friends are against him, and here's the effect on a man like this, a man who's afraid, and a man who's a failure, a man who's a fake, he's a man who's a fraud, and he's a man who's unfaithful, and it says there in Isaiah 7, verse number 2, "And his heart was moved, and the heart of his people, as the trees of the wood are moved with the wind." This man's trembling. He's got problems. They haven't got him so far, but the Syrians are against him. The Syrians, you'll remember, were the people really that came up with crucifixion. And if they came knocking on your door, they didn't just ask you to hand over your stuff, would you please? They just butchered everybody. That was the style of these folks. And they were chatting at his door, and he didn't have a God, not one he could trust. The only God he ever knew was the one that said, "Take your son, butcher him and roast him for me." And he had nothing to hold on to. And every time he opened the door, he wondered if the bogeyman was behind it. And every time he passed the tree, he got down and he worshipped. This man was in the grip of sin. He had nothing solid in his life. And now the crisis hits. You know, sometimes that's when God speaks in the crisis of life. Because when everything's fine, we've got a problem with our heart. It becomes kind of hard, and it becomes kind of proud. In fact, there's a psalm all about that, about how when things are going well, we get proud and we get puffed up, and we're just ready to fall. But maybe, certainly for the only time in the Bible, and maybe for the first time in this man Ahaz's life, his heart is just a little bit moved. His heart was moved, and the wind just blows a little bit, and he's just open. He's open to hearing the voice of God. Now, if you're at that point in your life, if in your life you have hit a crisis, if in your life everything's just falling to bits, and if you've just lost all of your self-confidence, then maybe this isn't the worst thing that's ever happened to you. Maybe actually that's a good thing. Because it's when we are open and softened to God that we are open to hear his voice. And in Isaiah 7 we have a tremendous thing against the background of this man's crisis. We have a tremendous thing that God actually speaks to him. Speaks to a man like Ahaz.
God's interested in meeting him, God's interested in speaking to him, and he speaks to him there by this man Isaiah. You know, interestingly, we didn't read all of 2 Kings 16 when we read about Isaiah, about Ahaz. 2 Kings 16 is about the reign of Ahaz. We read a little snippet of it. And interestingly enough, you won't read anything about this encounter that he has with God in 2 Kings 16. Don't read about it. Only in Isaiah 7 do we read about this encounter they had with God. Ahaz, the public man. 2 Kings 16, that's what that is. Ahaz in history. Ahaz, the successful king. Ahaz, the open-minded man. Worship anything and everything. Ahaz, a man that makes up his own mind and does his own thing and doesn't hold to old-fashioned ideas about God. That's 2 Kings 16. He's his own man, does his own thing. But in private, Isaiah 7, God speaks to him. It doesn't get in the history books, but it's there. Sometimes we have a public face, don't we? And we have a private one. And there's a public thing that we want everybody to see. Ahaz the success. Ahaz the king. Ahaz in control. Ahaz in charge. Ahaz the free thinker. And actually, the picture we get in Isaiah 7 is he's shaking in his boots and God's speaking to him once in his life. I remember I had a friend. He's dead now. He was the roughest kind of, I liked him, but he was the roughest kind of diamond you could ever meet. I remember him coming in to see me in the surgery once, and had a wee look around, and as some of you know, I've got a text or 20, a text or two up in the wall. And he kind of looked at me, and this was the style of him. He said, oh, he says, I see you're one of these Bible bashers then. That was just the style of him. And he wouldn't have had anything to do with Christianity. Not on the surface, anyway. And quite a foul mouth as well, actually, and all the rest of it. It was after he died, I learned, mind you, that every day, in the last few weeks of his life, he would pick up a book that he kept close by his bedside. It was his Bible, and he would read through it. There was a public side of it, mocking Christianity. And then there was a private side, and God spoke. And this man, Ahaz, God spoke to him. Maybe for once in his life, just the once, but that once was enough for Ahaz to hear the voice of God, and that once Ahaz would take with him to the grave. God spoke. He spoke in a coincidence in life. Verse number 3. Here's the coincidence. It's a strange one. God speaks to a man called Isaiah. Isaiah's a prophet, a preacher. God says to Ahaz, I want you to go and meet. God says to Isaiah, I want you to go and meet Ahaz. I want you to go to a place. I want you to go to a field, the fuller's field, verse 3 says. In fact, Isaiah, I want you to go to one particular pool in that field, the upper pool. In fact, more than that, I want you to go to the end of the conduit, the end of the bridge, at the upper pool. So you go there. The bridge, the upper pool, and there's a field. You go there, Isaiah. And Isaiah goes there, and there, it just so happens to be that Ahaz happens to be there. What a coincidence. Now there's Ahaz, out of walk, minding his own business, worrying about what's going to happen, worrying about when somebody's going to slaughter him in his bed at night, and suddenly, out of the blue, he bumps in, coincidentally, to Isaiah. And more than that, Isaiah has just the message that Ahaz needs to hear. Here's the message he needs to hear. Verse number 4, say to him, take heed. That means, be on your guard. That's a kind of that's a relevant message, isn't it? Watch out. That's guard duty, that word. Be on your guard. You be very careful what you're doing. Secondly, be quiet. That means, be at peace. This man's agitated. And fear not. Now there's a good word. There's a good message for a man who lives his life in constant fear of the spirit world, the constant fear of all sorts of imaginary gods, and he does not know the real God of heaven, so here's a really relevant message. What a coincidence. No, it wasn't a coincidence at all, was it? God spoke. Ahaz wasn't going out to hear the voice of God. Ahaz didn't put these circumstances together, but God speaks. Now, let's examine our lives now. This man is in danger. He hits a crisis. There's a coincidence, and God speaks. Can I say that if those things happen in your life, you'll need to take account. You'll need to listen to God. If you hit a crisis in life and all of the self-confidence goes and you begin to fear and you begin to worry and you're thinking serious thoughts about God and you're thinking about what happens when you die, and then there's a coincidence and God speaks to you, maybe through the Bible, maybe through a preacher, maybe through a Christian friend, then please listen, because it's very serious. I couldn't help but think of another friend of mine when I read about that. He was a chap that I saw very occasionally. He turned up at the door one Sunday morning. He never usually did that, but he came in one Sunday morning for a cup of coffee. He had hit difficult times. We opened the Bible together. We read about the Lord Jesus. We read about the storm at sea. And I spoke to him about his need of Christ. I spoke to him about the fact that it's in the problems and the crisis of life that you need to, that God cries to you, God calls to you, and that the only thing that is able to save us, and the only person that is able to forgive our sins and make us fit for heaven is the Lord Jesus Christ. And we spent about an hour that morning, and he came with me to the church that morning as well. And, you know, within a fortnight I was reading the same scriptures and preaching the same message at his funeral. God speaks. And if he does, take him seriously. Because God is not morally obliged to give me a second chance. He's not morally obliged. Nobody can hold God to ransom on that. What's Ahaz's response? Crisis. A coincidence. And here's what the message is. It's verse 11. Ask thee a sign of the Lord thy God. Ask it either in the depth or in the height above. And Ahaz said, I will not ask. So God says, ask. And Ahaz said, I will not ask. Neither will I tempt the Lord. The only person that can help Ahaz, his friends are against him, his foes are against him, he's got all sorts of false gods. He's a failure. He's a murderer. He's an idolater. The place is a mess. His life is falling to bits. He's worried and he's shaking in his boots. He's been blown about like the trees in the wind, it says. And he won't ask. What is it? It's the same as me and you. That's what it is. Human pride. We don't ask. Lord Jesus Christ says, ask and it will be given to you. Seeking you'll find. Knocking the door shall be opened. There is a Saviour and there is a salvation, and he's there and he's able to save all who call upon his name. Whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be saved. He that comes to me, I will in no wise cast out. What is it that keeps me back? An evil heart of unbelief. Pride. I'm a king. I don't need this. Gods have got plenty of them. There's not been any help to him so far. Maybe, again, a bit like us, he has just had a bit of an issue with God. You know, what is God actually like? Who is God? Sometimes God seems very far away. And so Isaiah will speak to this man, and he'll speak to me too, about just how close God is. Verse 14 of Isaiah 7, therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. Does God seem far away? Does he seem somehow disinterested, somehow too far for me to call? Somehow just not approachable? Well, in this very chapter, against that background of crisis and coincidence and God speaking, we have a little verse that points us forward to just how close God is
and just how involved God is, and just how near he is, and just how interested he is. And in this verse here of Isaiah 7:14, we've got something that is only really true about one person in the whole of history. It's a verse that looks forward to the Lord Jesus Christ coming. Behold, a virgin shall conceive. You see, that's a kind of physical impossibility. And bear a son. Let me say that the first part of that verse is nothing compared to the second. And shall call his name Emmanuel. So we have a God who is so close that he was able to come into this world as a person born in... I mean, birth is an amazing thing. Birth is an unbelievable thing. Life is an unbelievable thing. The fact that we can speak, the fact that we can hear, and the fact that we can breathe is an unbelievable thing. But here is a person born into time by a virgin who is also God. God is the God of the utterly astounding and utterly amazing, and Ahaz just was wondering if he could actually help him. Let me tell you about the greatness of God, says Isaiah. God is so infinitely great that he is able to come into time as a person. That person you and I perhaps know better by the name Jesus Christ. He's Emmanuel. Emmanuel means God with us. And as God sent his son into this world, he came with a purpose. He came to deal with my problem, my biggest problem, the problem of sin. That man Ahaz had all of his other problems because he was a sinner, because he was a murderer, an idolater. He turned his back on God. He neglected his children. He offered his son as a sacrifice on an altar. He was unfaithful and unreliable. Because of all of his other problems, they caused further problems, but God is able to solve my problem of sin by his son, Jesus Christ. The Bible says in John 3:16 about the Lord Jesus, Emmanuel, God with us, John 3:16 tells me how that happens, that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. So this is the son that Isaiah is speaking about. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him need not perish, but have everlasting life. There was power, there was a saviour, there was one that was able to forgive sin. And all Ahaz could say, having gone through all of that, I will not ask. Let's not take the attitude of Ahaz to the Lord Jesus. Ask and it shall be given. What is it we need? I need my sins forgiven. I need real power in my life to live for him. I need to be made fit and ready to meet God. And says the Bible, he is able to save to the uttermost. That is, he's able to save me. He's able to keep me. He's able to make me right for God and ready for heaven. And he's able to hold on to me. And he's able to save and keep saving and save forever. Call on his name. Ask him. Trust him. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Let's pray. Our Father, we do come into thy presence. We give thanks that thou art a God who is able to speak. We think, our Father, of the crisis, the unpleasant, painful crisis in the life of that man Ahaz, and yet that crisis just seemed to open an opportunity for thee to speak to him. We know, Father, that this happens in our lives. And we know, Father, that it's often when everything is stripped away and we feel ever so weak and vulnerable and open, that that's the very time that the voice of God speaks to us. We pray, Father, tonight, that through thy word, just the simple thoughts were shared, that thy voice would be heard. We think of that man Ahaz too, our Father, one thing in public, another in private. Help us to be honest with thee, our Father. So often we put on a face for folk, and we go on with our life, and yet, our Father, inside we are a total wreck. And we pray, Father, that we might just be really honest with thee. Help us not, our Father, to be so proud that we will not ask. We think, our Father, of how simple heaven has made it for us to be saved. And we remember, our Father, the simple means of salvation. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. That God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whosoever believeth in him need not perish but have everlasting life. Help us to trust the Lord Jesus. Help us to take him as Saviour. And help us, our Father, to let him do his mighty work of saving grace in our life.
And we just commit our Father these words of scripture that have been read and the thoughts that we've shared to thee. We really pray for a rich blessing in everyone that's here tonight as we offer thanks.